morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world.
Hey, thank you for joining us again on the Teacher Development SIGS DevelopPod, and today we welcome Tina from Taiwan, who's talking about a very interesting subject, positive discipline, in the context of her own professional development with young learners. Here you go. I think you'll find her truly inspirational.
Tina, hi. Welcome to DevelopPod, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you so much. I feel very excited to be here.
That's great. Can you please tell us a little about your teaching context there?
Sure. I'm an instructor in New Taipei City Government, teaching government officials English with various topics. And I also teach young learners between the ages of 6 and 15 in an English learning institute in Taiwan.
Great. And can you tell us a little about your background in terms of your teaching qualifications and what you're doing to continue your professional development, just so we can get a little more idea of where you are in your professional journey?
I've been teaching for 5 years. I received my master's degree in educational studies from Glasgow University and completed an advanced TESOL program with Oxford Teachers Academy. As for professional development, I'm a member of Oxford Teachers Club. I attend monthly webinars to gather ideas for my class and to leverage free resources from Oxford University Press. I've also started attending online conferences from IELTS and learning with teachers around the world.
Nice. Okay.
We're going to focus on a particular part of your professional development based around a book, I believe, which has inspired you. The book's called Positive Discipline by Jane Nelson. For our listeners, that's published by Ballantine Books, which was first published in 1981, although it's been republished since then. Can you tell us why this book has particularly inspired you, Tina?
I've always wanted to be the kind of teacher that shows love and support to my students. However, sometimes I became too lenient, so I had to be more strict to make up for being too kind and letting them walk over me. I switched back and forth in confusion between two ineffective alternatives. I was stuck in a vicious cycle. So I would say the book teaches me how to be both firm and kind without adding blame or creating unhealthy codependency on students, so they can learn cooperation and self-discipline, which is exactly the skill I was struggling with. I have also learned the psychological theories behind certain behaviors of students, which helps me better cope with different situations with love and respect. So I'll say the book not only inspired me to be a better teacher, but definitely a better person.
You've already inspired me with your reflections there, Tina. Probably like many of our listeners, I haven't read the book. So I think it would be helpful if you could please give us an overview.
The basic idea of the book is that children have to feel better to act better, as opposed to the concept of punishing students and making them feel bad in order to behave. It's a really different way of thinking about teaching kids than most teachers do naturally. Especially within Asian culture, teachers tend to be given more authority and power. Positive discipline encourages teachers to stop adding shame and pain to students' misbehavior, because that doesn't achieve the long-term results in characters that we have as the goal for kids. So rather than being an authoritarian teacher, I've learned that there is a much better alternative approach.
That avoidance of shame and blame sounds intuitively very reasonable and sensible to me. Before we talk about this alternative way of positive discipline, let's spend a moment to explore why you think, according to the book, traditional punishment may not work.
In fact, many people still feel strongly that strictness and punishment do work. And I think that punishment may work. It usually stops misbehavior right away. But the long-term results of punishment are that children usually adopt one or all of the Jen Nelson's four R's of punishment. And the first one is resentment. Mm-hmm. When a child is being punished, the first thought comes up his or her mind is that this is unfair. I cannot trust adults. Mm-hmm. And the second one is revenge. Children might stop their misbehavior at once, but what they're actually thinking is that you're winning now, but I will get even. And the third one is rebellion. So they do just the opposite to prove that they don't have to do it your way. And the last one is retreat. They will try to not get caught next time.
So you're saying there are four R's of punishment: resentment, revenge, rebellion, and retreat. And children can potentially respond in one or a mixture of all these different ways. Is that right?
Yeah. So Punishment may have short-term gains at the expense of quite serious long-term losses. I will share you a story of mine. When I was 15 years old, a teacher yelled at me whenever I got 4 marks. And I remember resenting him and tried to get excuses to skip his lessons. And I would say shaming kids isn't going to help them achieve anything. Anytime I've done badly and then being scolded for it, I feel so much worse. On the other hand, when I'm gently handled and can counsel with someone who truly loves me and wants what's best for me, I can safely talk through the situation to figure out a better way to handle things.
In terms of the specifics of positive discipline, what alternative is being suggested in this book? Can you tell us a bit more about the concepts on which positive discipline is based?
The concept of positive discipline is that we can create a teacher-led but still democratic classroom. Students have a voice and feel respected. Teachers model behavior and use that behavior in the classroom via classroom meetings. All punishment is replaced by focusing on solutions based on dignity and respect. Students are taught to help one another from mistakes and to brainstorm to come up with their non-punitive solutions, and that will be most helpful for everyone. What we're striving for is that we want our pupils to grow up properly, feeling love, and to have success in all areas of life. Positive discipline is built on Adlerian theory of children behavior.
So hold on a second. As I understand, Alfred Adler was a psychologist from Austria. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Around the same time as Sigmund Freud in the early part of the 20th century. I did a bit of research, and I believe he started as a client-centered, individualistic and collaborative school of therapy. In fact, I think he was very much influenced by Carl Rogers, one of the main founders of the humanistic approach. Can you tell us some of the main principles that are relevant here for you in your classroom?
Yeah, there are 6 relevant basic principles. Adler said people are social beings. Mm-hmm. We do something because we want to reach something. We're looking for something. Our goal in life is to feel a sense of belonging, a connection to a small group. That might be a family or a classroom grouping, but we need to feel a sense of belonging in some small groups. We need to feel like we can give back. In a classroom setting, students not only need to feel like they have friends and connections in the classroom, but they also need to feel valued for what they can contribute to their groups. We need to know somebody is glad to hear our voice and how we think about things.
That's very reassuring. I think I would have liked to have been one of your students as a young child in that kind of setting. Is there anything else there in terms of the principles that you follow?
Yes. Adler also said a misbehaving child is a discouraged child. Mm-hmm. So as kids are moving toward trying to find belonging and significance, if they cannot find it, they get discouraged and they act out in inappropriate ways. They do things to try to get what they want. Adler was also big on social interest. It is the idea of giving back and feeling that sense of obligation to your community based on gratitude. Mm-hmm. Also, dignity and respect for all. Everyone has equal claim to dignity and respect. Children definitely are equal to adults in value, and mistakes are wonderful opportunities to learn. Especially in Asian culture, children are expected to be perfect, but we actually need to learn to embrace the mistakes. Mm-hmm. And the last one, we should always make sure the message of love gets through. So this is the basic foundation of Jen Nelson's work. Jen Nelson's work is based on Alfred Adler's principles.
Great, great.
Hey there, DevelopPod listeners. Glad you can join us. This is Tyson Severn. I'm TDSIG coordinator, and I have a couple of important updates from TDSIG. First, this Saturday, February 23rd, we have our annual web carnival. Its theme is Developing Development. We'll have 4 speakers, one after the other, all talking about developing development from different perspectives. Hopefully you can join us. And if you can't, check out Twitter. The recordings will be available later on, but on Twitter you can tweet us during this time. A second update is we are excitingly partnering with Innovate ELT. It's a small conference in Barcelona, which takes place 17th to 18th May, and a couple of important announcements with regards to it. TD SIG members will get a 20% discount on admission. Hooray! And we also have a competition running until the 28th of February for free admission for a TD SIG member. All you have to do to participate is go to our website, tdsig.org, for more information. And really, it just simply involves a tweet. Otherwise, our e-bulletin will be coming out for TD SIG members shortly. And finally, our PCE, our pre-conference event in Liverpool at the IATEFL conference on the intersection of social justice and teacher development, is coming up quickly. Reserve your space today. Go to our website at tdsig.org and make sure you can see us there. It's got 8 talks from 8 speakers all about social justice, and we're going to have an amazing amount of meaningful discussion there. So I really hope to see you, and if not, please keep in touch through our website, our Facebook page, our Twitter account, and new, our Instagram. See you later. Bye.
I understand these are fantastic and really worthy principles. But what about discipline, and how can that be more effectively handled? Because I think many listeners would perhaps say, yeah, these are great ideas in theory, but how about in practice? Maybe they might fear for classroom management. So how can discipline be handled in a positive way?
Great question. Jen Nelson came out with the 4 criteria of effective discipline. These are the 4 questions that one must ask themselves before implementing a discipline strategy. If each question can be answered with a yes, then the criteria has been met, and only then can we know the discipline method will be effective. So the first question is it kind and firm? So kind is important in order to show respect for the child. Firmness is important in order to show respect for yourselves.
I'm going to read a poem here. The poem is called Kindness Always. The results of pure, true love are always positive. Those with pure love are never influenced by anyone. Their ability to discern never diminishes. When your love is pure, others will feel that your intentions are pure. There will be love in your vision, and there will be kindness in that love. In pure love, there is always kindness.
I love it. Thank you so much.
I can't even remember who gave me that now, but I thought that was appropriate here. It's always good to remember kindness in everything we do and in our teaching, right?
The second question is, does something help children feel a sense of belonging and significance? We want students to feel a sense of connection, a connection to each other and to adults. And the third question is it effective long-term? It needs to be something that's effective short-term as well as long-term. We're looking for long-term interventions for our students. And the last question is, does it teach valuable social and life skills for good characters? We're looking at a big picture of who we want for citizens. Too often, teachers use quick, negative discipline methods such as shouting that, though they may produce immediate results, do not model positive behavior that the students can learn from. Modeling respect and communication equips the students with conflict resolution skills that will not only benefit them in the present moment, but for life. We should teach them how to work with a system to help make a change in a constructive way that's respectful of all people. So the 4 questions are the tool that guide our action.
Very interesting, Tina. Let me, if I may, repeat those 4 questions. I think that's quite useful for our listeners. So the first question, is it kind and firm? Second question, mm-hmm. does it help children feel a sense of belonging and significance? Third question, yes. is it effective long term? And mm-hmm. fourth question, does it teach valuable social and life skills for a good character? And as teachers, we can ask ourselves these questions to evaluate whether or not it's useful and positive discipline that we're implementing. Is that right?
Exactly. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So how have these principles resulted in changes in your own patterns of behavior?
I've been trying to apply principles that I have learned from the book as I see opportunities. I've seen more positive results from its concepts. I believe a lot of these concepts can and should be applied in many areas of life with friends and family members as well. Mm-hmm. In our society, we're taught to be ashamed of mistakes I'm learning to be excited about mistakes as opportunity to learn. And it is really hard.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's really hard to say to ourselves that mistakes are a positive thing. I think we're told that very much. But whether or not we really believe that is another matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard. We have to learn to change how the society has taught us. Yeah, so I'm trying to learn as well. So during dinner time, my husband and I, we both share a mistake of the day and how we learn from it. I know it's hard to believe, but we're trying. We're learning to change any negative beliefs about mistakes and model the courage to accept imperfection.
So you share a mistake with your husband and he shares one with you, and then you see that as a learning opportunity.
Yeah, he's very reluctant to do that with me, but we're trying.
Nice idea. I like that. Yeah. That sounds like a really healthy form of introspection in your daily life. For you and perhaps your husband too, if he can come on board with that. And what have been the changes that you've noticed in your teaching as a result of this type of reflection?
I've been holding class meetings with my students weekly to practice giving compliments and focus on coming up with solutions with problems at hand. I allow time for every student to share a mistake and what they can learn from it, so they have the exposure to learn the failure of mistakes. My students in a fifth grade class were asked to brainstorm for solutions for a boy, Aaron, who couldn't keep up with the class. And I was really surprised by their suggestions. One girl said Aaron could raise his hand and ask the teacher to say again what he doesn't understand. Another student said, I could help him with his questions, and maybe teacher, you could talk slower and use easier words in class. And one boy said, we should encourage him and not laugh at him. And I could see Aaron couldn't hide his smile, and I bet he felt really welcome and supported by the group. And it is really amazing that my students have gradually learned to appreciate others and solve problems with their own ideas instead of mine. And it makes me feel really, really proud of them.
That's incredible. And what age of these students did you say, Tina?
They were fifth graders, between 10 to 11 years old.
That's incredible. Yes, you should feel really proud of them and proud of yourself for bringing in such a philosophy.
I'm really surprised that it worked. Yeah, I didn't expect that.
I'd be interested to know how that continues, whether Aaron manages to ask for help and whether other people stay supportive of him. I'm sure there's a lot for us all to learn from what you say. It's been a real pleasure, Tina, listening to how you've made some very deep reflections in your life. And as a result, both you and those around you have benefited.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I had a great time sharing my experience with you as well.
It's been fantastic. I really have learned a great deal. So I thank you very much, Tina.